Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper, Ronald J. Martin. Boys, it's been a while since we've been all together, but we got everybody back now, and we're going to do a little promo work. We're going to do a little book promo work because we have a new book dropping, and it's very exciting. But before we get to that, Pipe, we have some actual promo work, some bill paying to do with our newly redefined relationship. We kind of had a DTR with Dwell, and we put some new parameters on it, but we're still together, which is exciting. Piper, tell us about Dwell Bible.
Yeah, I think Henry Cloud would be proud of us for the boundaries that we put in place on this, or rather, maybe that they,
I think
put,
they
in
put
place
boundaries
on this. Maybe
in
he'd
place.
Be proud
yeah,
of
yeah.
them. But yeah, we were a little clingy, so they had to put on boundaries. Listeners, Dwell is an audio Bible app that you will likely be familiar with now if you've been listening for a while. If you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can see more about the app as well as checking out the discounts they have for our listeners. But it is probably the most kind of full-service audio Bible app in existence in terms of all of their features, the Bible versions they have, the narrators, the music, a whole variety of things to help you find the right listening experience for you. They've also recently added a read-along option, so you can actually be listening to scripture as you read it, which can be a cool benefit. Or if it's the kind of thing you just want to fit into the other margins of your life, they have listening plans. They have lists. So if you just need encouragement, if you need the promises of God, if you want to hear, I was going through one the other day listening to Paul's benedictions where he just blesses the churches. So things like that, they have all that built in. But again, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant. They have a 10% discount off of their annual subscription and a 33% discount off of their lifetime subscription, which is a $50 saving. So pretty significant. So go check them out today, dwellapp.io/happyrant. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Solid Pipe. Boys, I feel like we need a new sponsor. I mean, not to replace Dwell, but just in addition. I don't know, Dwell's, they're starting to feel a little distant. It's kind of that stage where they're a little bit less responsive. I don't know. I'm just feeling like we need to get
the thrill is gone
a little bit. We're starting to take each other for granted. You know what I mean? No, we love Dwell.
Maybe that means we need like a recommitment. Do we need like a vow renewal ceremony?
I think
or something?
We do. I think at our next live show, which are we still doing that live thing in Texas? Is that still a thing?
We are. I'm supposed to actually hear from the guy planning it today. So
solid.
Yes, we are going to be doing a live thing in Texas, which we haven't talked about because we're not planning it ourselves. But yeah, there's going to be a Happy Rant kind of conference/live thing in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area in, I want to say, September.
Yeah, it's coming right up.
Is that what we agreed on?
I think it was. And people should know.
I think it was late August, boys, is the dates we agreed on.
Was it late August? I knew there was two options, and one of them was September, one of them was late August.
Late August, dude, is right around the corner. That's crazy.
Also a great time to go to Texas.
Yeah, solid time, dude. It'll be nice and cool.
It's going to be like walking into the devil's oven. It's going to be.
Exactly. But.
Not the event. Just
churches should know that this is on the table for them. Like if they want to bring in the Happy Rant experience for a weekend, kind of planning their own live shows, as it were, this is on the table. So we can be reached out to and we can be booked for that sort of thing.
It is the last weekend in August. Ronnie is correct. He had a better memory than
me. It's going to be lovely down there, dude. That'll be really nice.
Ronnie remembers all things live events.
Well, I mean, it's just, I wrote it down when you gave us the dates, Pipe, and those have to be the dates now because that's what we got.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Baby, are you fresh off your trip to Nashville for the SBC conference?
Oh, you know. Bit. Absolutely. I just made a comment like yesterday. I said, if you're on Twitter this week, it's like you're in the SBC this week because that's all it's been.
You know what I love about all you guys? You're all like, oh, the SBC conference, it's the worst. I'm so tired of talking about it. Like rubs hands together gleefully, like give me gossip from the SBC conference. It's a little bit of a
I mean, those who are in the, there's, we don't really have any, well, actually your church is part of the SBC, right? Big T. Yeah.
Yeah.
So me and Pipe are non-SBCers, though. That's the
idea. Yeah, I know. That's crazy. Like, me and Pipe used to...
So I...
We used to have to be careful about what we said, and I still have to be careful, but, like, I'm the only one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I worked for Lifeway, which is owned by the SBC, and you work for a Southern Baptist college. And so, yes, there's a fair amount of, like, of landmine avoidance. Yeah. I actually tried to think of every term and hashtag related to the SBC I could to mute them on Twitter so as not, because it would have been 80% of my feed, because those who are in the SBC tweet about it nonstop. Those who are adjacent to the SBC tweet about it with, like you said, the glee of, like, I get to kind of judge and observe this thing.
Or
so,
just the glee that, yes, I'm not part of it, and I get to cast
judgments without any of the fallout. And
dude, again, Twitter, such a credit to our lives.
It is. It's such an uplifting.
What a crowning achievement of man. I mean, if you don't believe total depravity, like, after 20 minutes on Twitter, I don't know. There's no hope for you. But let's talk about something more interesting than the SBC conference or Twitter, and that's our new book, boys. The book that's going to, like, just light up the publishing industry, and it's going to make rich men out of all three of us, out of the executives, the good people over at Harvest House, right? Harvest House.
Yep, that's
they're the people that we're going to make rich on this project. And Pipe, you had a good idea for this morning, which is as a means of promoting the book, which we have a title for, and the title's only like 55 words long, so it just kind of rolls
off. We honed it down to one paragraph.
Yeah, we honed it down to one paragraph.
I've actually forgotten what the title is because we're like,
completely forgettable. Yeah, right.
Well, mostly. Maybe those reasons, but also because we took like alphabet soup and rearranged it 72 different times, so I can't remember.
You could be the best memorization guy in the world and not have this title ever memorized.
Put 12 executives in a room making a title, and just magic happens. You know, that's the magic of our business, boys. But one thing that we got to do without 12 executives is the Happy Rant Phonetic Dictionary. And I think this is going to be a really helpful resource. This is like the Happy Rant, like, study book, as it were, in that we put some like helpful appendices and resources in it. But this is the one wherein we kind of go through all of our terminology and all the words that kind of recur on the show and put definitions to them as a means of serving our people. And I think this is going to be helpful. Helpful is a word for evangelicals that just kind of stands in now for good or nice. You know what I mean? Like, gosh, I watched a show last night, you guys. It was so helpful. Meaning
it's helpful,
that I like
it's it. Helpful hearing you say this too, T. I mean,
yeah, for sure. We should put helpful in the phonetic dictionary, actually.
That would be helpful.
It would be so helpful.
On the plus side, Ted, we did rant last episode about the misuse of terms like genius and awesome. At least helpful is accurate if blogs.
Yeah, helpful's accurate if helpful. Like normal people are using it. But I feel like if people in Christian publishing are using it, it stands in for a whole lot of different things.
It's like calling something interesting or saying interesting when somebody tells you a boring story. You're like,
that's really a good point, Pipe. I feel like it's like a nicer version of interesting.
It is a nicer version of interesting.
Because I have this guy I do some work with. And no matter what you say, so he asks for an opinion or a comment on something that we're discussing. And no matter what you say, and sometimes you're like, that was the worst comeback in the world. He'll always follow it up with that was helpful. And it's like, wait a minute. was it though? Cause it didn't feel helpful. But I do think it's the Christianese version of interesting, right?
It really is. Dude, I'm a big interesting guy. I use that word a lot.
But I think that can be sincere too. Like Big T, like if we're talking about a topic, I can go, dude, that's interesting. And like, that's authentic right there.
I know from your inflection that you mean it.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah, for sure.
That's helpful.
Boys, let's get into this dictionary. And I'm going to run a few of these by you. I'm just going to kind of go in order, but we can stop and chat about any of these that are interesting. And if we think of others, we can add them to this living document. All right, so we went alphabetically. So we started with, I guess, the A's. But the first one is at Jared C. So we kind of put some definitions on this, which you, I assume you had to do with your relationship with Jared C., similar to our relationship with Dwell. Here's what we had for this one. Jared C. Wilson, who is Ronnie's best friend. Jared lives in Kansas City and has released two new books in the time it took me to type this sentence.
Do you think we should get in there something about how he is definitively not a ghostwriter?
Oh, we should, dude. We got to add that. Here, I'll finish it.
I mean, it's anti-ghost.
Anti-ghostwriting campaign.
He's like the Ghostbuster of
ghostwriters.
Oh, yes, dude. Yes. I love it. He loves Tom Brady, putting out books, and shopping at Marshall's. Being friends,
which he takes great offense to, by the way.
Yeah.
He actually texted me about that.
He told me one time, why do they always say that? I've never once been to a Marshall.
Oh, which come I on. Think is I don't believe that for a I think second, dude. I don't believe it for a second.
I think he doesn't know the difference between Marshall's and TJ Maxx and like Ross Dress for Less. So, he's been to all three and he doesn't remember which is which.
I think his wife buys his apparel. He's one of those guys, which is, that's props, cool. Right?
Yeah,
there it is.
Whatever. Yeah. All right, here we go. Being friends with Big R makes him feel cooler. And being friends with Jared makes Big R feel more academic. And that's the end of our definition.
Which is interesting because that's the last thing I ever feel like feeling. But we'll roll with that. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you feel like you're about to get a book deal, I think.
Sure.
It gives you that.
But
it gives you that, like,
the best way to feel. Yeah, the best way to feel academic is like academic adjacent, because you don't have to do any of the work or even use any of the terms. You just sort of get associated with it. So you sort of get the glow without any of the other.
What's stuff. Funny
so
is that, like, Jared C., like, if you were to have a convo with him, he would kind of throw out the anti-academic thing. But when you really get to talking to him, he's, like, totally in line with all the academy. Like,
he
the way
doing,
he, like, processes
doing, like,
things.
Man of the people, like, persona-wise.
Like, I don't know. I had a thought about it, so I wrote two more books about it, or I wrote, like, a white paper.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
He's not an off-the-cuff guy. I will say, and I very much, if I go into something too prepared, that is like the death of me. You know what I mean? So
you feel it.
Oh, dude, it's like the worst thing ever for like a talk or something. It's like, oh my gosh, man, I might as well just read off the back of this, like, wheat checks box, kind of a thing. Yeah. Mm. Anyway.
Helpful.
We all have our, it's interesting. Huh?
We've all got stories.
We all got our struggles, man. But that, Jared C. made the, I mean, baby, that's top of the list for at Jared C. in the book.
Well, it's because he's at, man. It's because
I know.
that's the first character. All right.
I know.
Next one, baby. We get a lot of questions about this, about why Ron and I call each other baby. And we address it right here. Okay. So here's the definition for baby. An actual baby, meaning a tiny, pink, sometimes gross human. Also, things that reformed families produce in droves. It's also how I, Big T, refer to Ron and how he refers to me. Due to our shared love of the movie Swingers, which came out in the 1990s and starred Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn, both pre-fame. So that's a story about baby.
That real academic, didn't we? Just very, very, very fast.
Well, dude, yeah, I just wanted to, and that's the reformed guy in me, right? I wanted to set some definitions on baby. I wanted to be clear about baby, so that there's no confusion about our position on it.
We should have somebody write like a 6-page white paper on
we should have Jared papers. Do it.
Yeah.
Well, how about at Jared C? I bet he's got thoughts.
Baby, I have a question. Has Jared ever like experimented with the baby thing with you? Like conversationally,
he told me, and I quote, one time. He said,
"This is a strong start."
He said, "If you ever expect me to call you baby, you're going to be sorely disappointed." Mm-hmm. To which I replied, "What would make you think I would expect that?"
He thought it was just an expectation, like a blanket expectation for any friend of yours.
I think so.
It's like a mark of true friendship.
Right.
Right.
He's like, I will call you baby if I have to, but I won't like it.
Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't even that generous. It was like this relationship is already going to a place I don't approve of if your expectation is for me to call you what Ted calls you.
Interesting. Wow, dude. I'm glad you guys had that talk, though. That's helpful. I mean, helpful. Just in a relationship. Yeah.
It was helpful.
Again, setting some definitions.
DTR, man. It was like we threw out a DTR right at the top. You know?
That's solid. Pipe, have you ever called anyone baby? In a
other than your baby.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, the thing is, even people who I would be inclined to call baby, I probably call babe.
There you go.
Mm. And they are either married to me or my children.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, there's pretty defined limits on my use of that term.
Pipe, I mean, I don't know, other than the first time I met her, I don't think I've ever called my wife by anything other than babe. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. The only person I call baby is Big T. That's our unique thing.
That's big, baby. That is big. That's helpful.
That's the thing me and you got going on.
That's right. That's right. We need that. Boys, I'm going to move into the C's now. I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit.
Don't want to give it all away, boys.
We don't want to give it.
You have something to read, you know?
Right.
Yeah, this is a sampling of
the... You act like you don't need the stuff. They give you the stuff for free. all right. We're in the C's now. Christian slumlords. Everybody in Big T's church. This refers to the sudden boom in all Christians wanting to become realtors or own rental properties as a means of getting rich, but also somehow doing it for Jesus. So I'm seeing a lot of Christian slumlord activity in my church.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, you're not seeing that, baby, in Ashtown?
Not so much, because there's just not a lot available around here. I would think it would be more of a thing where you are, just given the dem, you know.
Yeah, it is.
So like, what do you mean? Like, so they're all saying I'm gonna buy this little condo, fix it up, and Airbnb it kind of a thing?
No, there's two categories of this. Okay, there's the sort of, and I think maybe we talked about this a couple years ago, but due to the rise in like HGTV making real estate into like a sexy career.
Mm-hmm.
At any given time, you've got like, you know, a handful of people who are trying to be realtors. So there's that. Uh-huh. But then there's also the whole like, you know, I'm buying a slum, like a condemned property, and I'm turning it into a rental, and I'm buying up a whole bunch of these. And just like the whole real estate tycoon thing is really trending.
Where's the cachiche coming for those purchases as well?
Well, dude, rents are huge in our town. Like you can buy a relatively crappy property and rent it for a relative pile of cash.
So wait a minute. So the housing boom hasn't like hit your area, so like things aren't overpriced right now like they are everywhere else?
It's hitting it. So like but buying is still way cheaper in our area than renting. Like renting is way overpriced. Okay. So you know, there's still like demand for rentals because we have a few colleges in our town and a big hospital and the whole deal. So like, it's a good town to be a slumlord in, to be honest. And, you know, God bless them, I guess.
I mean, you're kind of one of them, T. I mean, be honest.
Well, we have the Airbnb, but that's it, you know.
You're saying to be a slumlord, you need multiple properties that you're trying to just
these are good. Again, we're DTRing this, but like, I think it speaks a little bit to your persona, like being the kind of person who is passionate about real estate and like is like really into it, you know.
That's what you're saying. So it's not like, hey man, I had some cash to invest, I'm going to fix this thing up, just do a little Airbnb on the side. It's more like, no, you got to understand, like, real estate's my thing.
Yeah, real estate's my thing.
Well, also, I think there's a very important, it has to be a separate property from your own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you have something, if you have a carriage house or whatever, and you're renting it out, like, that's just using the space that you have for a little extra money. And because at any point you could reclaim that and be like, I'm turning that into an office. I'm moving my mom in there because she needs a place to live or whatever. It's the separate property aspect of this. So it's a second house or multiple homes. We've got a handful of people in our church who are like, you see a post on the church members Facebook page and it's like, hey, our rental property is now available kind of thing. And they show it and they buy like the 1300 square foot, 1400 square foot, like brick ramblers that are all over the South, and they kind of make them cute and, you know, put in new appliances and stuff and then rent them out. And in a housing market like Nashville, it's a killer investment because they bought it for $130,000 5 years ago. And now it's, you know, a $330,000 house.
I was going to say, Pipe, are those things going for, I know what exactly what you're talking about. Are those things expensive now?
I think
depends on what part of town, but yeah,
expensive.
I mean,
yeah, I would imagine
a cheap house like that house that I just described. If it was kind of not fully updated, because a cheap one's probably $230,000,
and that would probably need a lot of work.
Yeah, and that would be like, oh yeah, I'm ripping out the ugly old wood paneling and all that stuff.
Sorry, we're rabbiting.
No worries. All right, next one, conf. We say the word conf a lot on the program. We say it in reference to a particular person's passions and proclivities. But conf
proclivities, yes, that's
conf is short for conference.
Gee, guys, thanks so much.
Yeah, which any conference is the dream destination for Big R, who is all about getting that lanyard, booking that Spirit Airlines flight, and getting out of town for a few days. So that's the story behind conf. Pretty self-evident. Mm.
And listeners, just to tease a little bit more, we have an entire chapter on conferences. We break them up by name. We talk about the best and worst parts. It's we just put the finishing touches on that one. So there's a lot more to it. That's just,
we've got a white paper.
This
on
is just a taste.
Yeah, we get into it. We essentially did. Yeah, that chapter is essentially a white paper.
It's a white paper. We need to be presenting that at a conference, but like an unfun one. Pipe, I wonder if Ron would enjoy academic conferences.
Or if
it wouldn't work.
It's just, no, it would not. It would
happen. Ronnie, have you been to like ETS?
Nope.
Oh, man, I need to hear your take on it.
I can't stand stuff like that because it's like nerd Twitter, man. I have a major issue with stuff like that.
Baby, here's the, I'm going to give you the upside and the downside. And Pipe, you weigh in on this one too. The upside is you get to get on an airplane and get out of town. Okay.
Correct.
There's a hotel involved. So you like that.
I love how you're trying to sell me.
I'm selling it big time. But the downside, as I see it, is literally everything else. Pipe, what am I missing?
No, you're not missing everything, because everything is the downside. Like,
they don't even do the perfunctory worship band at these conferences. Like the perfunctory sad, like we're gonna sing two songs.
The advantage thing. There's one additional advantage to academic conferences, and that is they're almost always in cities that other conferences are not in.
That's true.
So like pastors conferences are always in inexpensive cities, you know, Orlando when it's hot as Hades outside, Indianapolis, any time of the year, those kinds of places. Whereas Louisville, any time of the year, you're like, why? That's not a destination. Why would I want to go there? Whereas like ETS, I went to New Orleans, Denver.
Ooh. Dude, you actually went, Pipe. Wow.
Oh, I worked in publishing. Like, yeah, we went to all the conferences. San Diego, Providence, Rhode Island, sneaky cool city. Also, not a long drive from other very cool cities. So that's one advantage, because they have to move them around to kind of cater to their various constituencies.
Well, look, I mean,
so
boys,
that's the only other
thing. I mean, I would go, you know, I think we kind of talk about this in the chat, right? But like, mm-hmm. I would go to an ETS, but I wouldn't go there. I would go there to hang out with dudes that are going there to hang out. The problem
there wouldn't
is that
be any
for some
dudes you'd want to hang out with.
Well, it's all the nerd Twitter dudes accurate. That like tell jokes, like, you know, to tell Calvin jokes, which just to me are horribly unfunny. And
how many super lapsarians does it take?
It's just not. Yeah, it's that. It's like not funny, like ETS-y kind of jokes. And so I have a really low thresh for that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a little snobby about that. Mm. I'm a little no academic way. About academia.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that I don't remember. So yeah, in going to those conferences, there was never a normal conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like you never just ran into somebody and started talking about things that you were mutually interested in, because the only thing that the attendees want to talk
Babbling.
About is their. It's Shop Talk, which is their nerdy special.
Yeah, B-A-V-I-N-C-K, or however you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's Bavink, and somebody's going to judge you for that.
I'm just going to call him Bavs.
Bavs.
I'm going to call him Bavs.
What his mom called him?
Kind of like Babs, but
Bavs, with a V.
Yeah, yeah, Babs.
I mean, that's how we repronounce the name.
Dude, we've done some renaming in the course of this program, and I'm going to lay one on you now. Dougie Fresh.
Oh.
Dougie Fresh. Not to be confused with the American rapper from the 1980s. When the boys say Dougie Fresh, it is in reference to Douglas Wilson, who is a famous pastor from someplace out west who likes lighting things on fire, both literally and metaphorically. He is either brilliant or a horrible monster, depending on who you ask. Ron and Pipe need to put distance between themselves and Dougie Fresh, and do so verbally on the regular. While Big T doesn't have a dog in the Dougie Fresh fight at all. If he did, Dougie Fresh might light said dog on fire. I think I wrote a footnote for this.
Okay, that was...
You wrote a footnote on the...
I mean, that is about as good as it gets for a death right there.
Yeah, I feel like that hits... It hits at a lot of levels on...
That might be the most accurate explanation we have in the entire dictionary.
Well, yeah.
And the great thing is, like... Dougie Fresh really loves to take offense at things and then light them on fire. I don't even think he could be mad at this definition. He's like, correct, not a rapper. Yeah. Do enjoy lighting things on fire in all senses. People absolutely love me.
Seriously,
or hate
yeah.
Me,
Pipe, I mean,
I would consider burning Ted.
It's the most factual thing we've written.
It's unassailable.
There was no character assassination stuff going on there. It was completely accurate.
Completely.
I mean, even if you love Dougie Fresh, you look at that and you go, yep.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do another person. It's Drisky. So Drisky's another rename that we've done on the program. Drisky refers, of course, to Mark Driscoll, who was a metal necklace and tap-out shirt-wearing pastor in the early 2000s, and who is now a guy who lives in Scottsdale and sort of embodies the Scottsdale ethos perfectly vis-a-vis tanning and fashion. He morphed from an angry uncle pastor to smug father figure pastor. Trivia. Did you know that Drisky's church was the third one profiled in Colin Hanson's Young, Restless, and Reformed book? Wild. Do you know how I know that? I know it because I listened to the podcast that has Kevin DeYoung, Colin Hanson, and the other guy, Judas. Who's the third guy on
Justin
that podcast?
Justin Taylor.
Justin Taylor. They were interviewing Timmy Kaye, which was an exercise in hearing Kevin DeYoung talk two-thirds of the time. But... But I love KDY even steps on Timmy Kaye. You know, that's a solid flex. But yeah, they mentioned this.
I missed that interview, man. Was it good though for Timmy Kaye?
It was actually phenomenal. I mean, the first 15 or 20 minutes I thought were outstanding. It was Timmy Kaye just talking about, not to take it to a dark place, but like cancer and
everything
like,
he's been going through. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything he's been going through, but it was really, really solid. And then they kind of got into this deal where, they were kind of rehashing the Young, Restless, Reform movement, and I don't know. I thought Timmy Kaye's stuff was phenomenal on that level too. It was just really thoughtful. But
I gotta hear.
But
it.
Yeah, Colin and Justin didn't speak at all. I don't think on their own podcast.
Not a word.
Yeah, not a mum's the word from those.
They
two
wouldn't
gentlemen.
Have. They wouldn't have dared say a word.
They wouldn't have dared say a word. That's right. Not a word in edgewise. But anyway, that's Drisky. Let's scroll down here and find, let's find another one.
Quick word on Drisky. I feel like maybe we should send him like a one of those, like a thank you basket or something for all of the good he's done for this podcast in the last 7 years.
He needs a fruit basket from us. He really does.
Yeah, like an edible arrangement or something. I mean, I'm sure his security team would scan it and then destroy it or something. But it just... He has been the gift that keeps on giving for this podcast in so many ways.
He'd probably prefer like a tool chest, don't you think?
I don't know though, would he? Do you think he's a DIY type of guy?
What about like a monogrammed holster for that handgun I'm sure he has?
I think that's the gift, Pipe. I really do. I think it's a monogrammed holster. I love it. we'll get our assistant on that. We need a secretary for the show.
Snakeskin boots, perhaps. I mean,
dude,
I
see him as
something that fits his current.
I see him as definitely a snakeskin boot guy as of like the last 5 years. I think up north in Seattle, he was like a Doc Martens guy probably, but now he's 100% snakeskin boot, and I don't know. I like it. I'm into it. All right, let's go into the H's and J's. Harbor Network. Yeah. A rebrand of the Sojourn Network, which is Ron's church planning network, which is famous for flannel shirts, work boots in which no actual work is done, and lavish conferences. Harbor has nautical / oceanic connotations, despite being headquartered in Louisville. Also sounds like a Christian radio network from the late 1980s. So that's Harbor. When, baby, I have a question for you. When are Pipe and I going to get our like Harbor... I almost said Harvard. Harbor Network. When are we going to get our swag in the mail? Like our t-shirts
some garb?
And hoodies.
Oh man, I can get you guys some garb.
Dude, garb us up, dude. We need Harbor swag.
Not even.
Do you have anything besides like golf shirts and collared pullovers?
I mean, Pipe, are you being coy? I mean, we don't.
Do you have a flannel?
No, I hear Harbor Network, and that's just what I assume. I assume. Like golf shirts. Now, that's Harbor Network says golf shirt to me. Like that.
Yeah, no. I mean, we wouldn't even have. We might have a polo, but no. It's more like hoodies and caps, and you know, all the kind of stuff. You should go on the website, and I'll tell me what you want, and I'll get you something.
Ooh, so. Dude, I'm into it.
Absolutely.
It's good stuff.
It's nice stuff. Yeah,
it's good to be a podcast superstar.
It's good to be hooked up, man.
Good to be hooked up. All right, next one. Judas H. Priest. A thing that Ted says when he gets really upset about something. Judas Priest was a metal band in the 1980s featuring Rob Halford's distinctly falsetto voice. It's also just a fun thing to say. Try it.
Its counterpart that we went with for a very brief moment, which was Judas Priestess.
Judas Priestess. Dude, that's going way back.
Well, because we're trying to be diverse and, you know, we need to make
that's
sure
right.
to cover our bases.
That's good, man. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Fight the patriarchy.
Yeah. Guys. Yes. All right. I'm scrolling. Okay. Let's do another one. Let's do another name one. We're in the M's now. Metaxi. Metaxi. Eric Metaxas, who is an author that everybody liked. Bonhoeffer book, and who now everybody hates. That's literally all I know about Metaxi.
It's incredibly accurate.
Circa a decade ago, like literally every Christian's home you went into in like 2011, you were setting a cup of coffee on that Metaxas Bonhoeffer book, and people were raving about it. And now everybody hates Metaxi. It's been a tough decade.
He turned himself into a villain, man. It's poor Metaxi.
Tough.
And by poor, I mean not very poor at all.
Is Metaxi still rich, you think?
And by poor, I mean probably the least poor person we would, all three of us, have any acquaintance with if we knew him. I have no clue.
I suspect he's doing just fine. He has like a radio show.
We have a radio show.
You know, has political connections and his books still sell for some reason.
We don't have those other two things. But yeah. Tough. All right. Speaking of, I want to do another phrase. This is something that Big R and I do. It's called the money. The money is the ultimate compliment in Big T and Big R's world. And again, is an homage to or a direct ripoff of Swingers. So for example, you might say something like, quote, baby, your tiny little bespoke leather headphone case is the money. Which tiny little bespoke leather headphone case really exists? And I would say this thing is like 1 inch by 1 inch, right, baby? It holds earbuds. It doesn't even hold like actual headphones.
Well, it holds the case that holds Apple AirPods.
You could say, and not to put too fine of a point on it, it's a case for a case.
It's
right?
a case for a case.
Yeah.
It's a case study. Exactly.
Oh, it's a case study. Dude,
Well, that was a little dad jokey. Sorry.
That was dad jokey.
I'm super anti-dad joke, so sorry about that.
Jared C. is laughing out loud right now.
Yeah.
Is he a big dad joke guy?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, Jared C. doesn't really lay out the jokes. You know, that's not really his style.
Yeah. But. Yeah. All right. Let's do another one. This one's a particular, like, thorn in the flesh of Big R. It's nerd Twitter.
Oh
yeah. Nerd Twitter.
Dude, I can't you say the word and I'm already angry.
Nerd Twitter is where guys from a certain theological subset gather to let each other know what white papers they're reading and to occasionally drop in a reference to Hebrew. The tweets have no entertainment value per se and are intended only to serve the persona of the person doing the tweeting, which also describes, to be fair, all of Twitter. So that's nerd Twitter.
Yeah, it's just like the rest of Twitter with more syllables.
Right. With bigger words.
And the Latin vulgar. Yeah.
Interesting.
Really helpful.
I wonder how much it's helpful. I wonder how much like Venn diagram overlap there is between our audience and nerd Twitter. Like, I wonder if there are like 14 nerd Twitter guys being super.
Oh, dude, right now. For sure. 100, man. There's for sure. There's for sure.
We got some nerd Twitter traction in our audience group.
Yeah, and let me just clear the air here. I don't like nerd Twitter. I'm not saying I don't know dudes that engage. I don't have anything against the actual nerds. It's just the dialogue drives me a little cuckoo.
Sure. You know? Yeah. Sure. All right, let's do another name. Slicky.
Oh boy, this is really remote, isn't it, man?
Yeah, it's Slicky. We're getting deep into the weeds.
It's getting real rando.
Yeah, that's like a niche of a niche of a niche. All right. This is Big T and Big R's term of endearment for a guy named Clinton Faupel, who ran a studio of some kind in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It was either radio or television, or neither. We got to Slicky due to his name being Clinton and due to former President Bill Clinton being referred to as Slick Willie. Stay with us. Kind of the
that is so random.
I will say that I feel like we should run this term through Urban Dictionary just to make sure we're not accidentally saying something.
Yeah, it probably stands for something vile and horrific.
It's probably true. It's actually true.
Okay.
Oh boy. Have we gone is that as far as we should push it, boys? I want to leave something else in the tank, you know.
We're gonna do one more. We're gonna do a Y, like right at the end, and it's Yoda.
Mm.
Yoda was a character in a popular movie franchise called Star Wars.
I love how we have to. actually state that
it's a multi-tiered definition, baby. We're reform guys. We're hitting all the boundaries, but is now a term for a certain style of tweeting in which the writer tries to be equal parts profound, opaque, and choose one, woke/sensitive/inspirational. The world's greatest Yoda tweeter is Timothy Keller, who got great at it without even trying. Ron is currently trying to make headway in the Yoda Twitter game. So that's it, Yoda. So we went from at Jared C to Yoda. Wow. All in one appendix.
I mean, I love the light that I'm painted in. After Tim Keller, it's like Tim Keller doesn't even have to try. But Big R, oh,
baby, you're trying real hard though.
It takes every ounce of effort.
You're putting the reps
in. Dude to say,
you know,
anything profound.
You're getting shots up, man. No, I love it. All right, boys, that's a little preview, a little look into the window of the Happy Rant book, which has a different title that I've forgotten.
Mm-hmm. I will never remember the title.
We'll let people know when it's like available for pre-sale and things. So this is just, we're just sowing some seeds of interest.
Just priming the pump.
Yeah.
Where are we at on that title for real? Have we just been like filibustered into silence on it? I feel like
I think it's done. I think we got it, right? Didn't we we landed the plan, right? A couple days
ago.
I think we landed.
I think we landed. You know, it is what it is.
I suppose one of us could go back and look at the emails and actually see.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so much effort.
Not.
Boys, we got to do Patreon radio. We've got to take care of the people that take care of us. So I'm gonna sign us off of this one. Boys, we've done what we always do on this program, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout a dictionary of terms about our own program, which may be the most egotistical thing we've ever done, which is saying something. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Once in a generation, a podcast comes along with the power and eloquence to inspire us all.
This show will entertain you while you wait for that one. Join two best friends, author and former history teacher John Driver and comedian Johnny W. for hilarious and authentic conversations about life, history, culture, faith, and everything in between.
You can listen to Talk About That wherever you find your podcasts or at lifeaudio.com.